Welcome to First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. I'm your host, James Gardner, certified athletic therapist, certified strength and conditioning specialist, yoga instructor, human being. This platform for the pros, by the pros, anybody in the performance space, and beyond. Welcome here to share in the stories of professionals, experiences, journeys, learning along the way. It's a platform to connect, to network, and to be a part of a community that cares with conversations that matter, experiences that resonate, and generate ideas, thought-provoking, organic dialogue, passionate probes. Brought to you as always by First Star Therapy, Mobility Tape, Epic, and Benchmark Athletics. In association with the Canadian Athletic Therapists Association, it's First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. Thanks for being here. Thank you for being a part of it.
All right, we are back on air. This is Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast, the official podcast of WFAT, and this is our fourth session in our series of five, the 2023 Impact Award winners from WFAT. Today, celebrating Carrie Downer at Mount Royal University, joined by her nominator, Mark Lefebvre, who is also out there at Mount Royal University. So before we get to that, congratulations, Carrie, Mark, for doing the work to get this nomination established. And again, congratulations on the award. I look forward to sharing this and hearing your story and what you're doing. And so does our audience. Carrie Downer, she's been the head athletic therapist at Mount Royal University since 2018. She's worked with football, hockey, rugby, basketball, volleyball, soccer, and field hockey teams at various universities in both Ontario and Alberta since the early 2000s. She also works part-time as a clinical assistant at the Benson Concussion Institute, located at the Mark and McPhail Center at Winsport. Her nominator, Mark Lefebvre, he is the program coordinator in athletic therapy at Mount Royal University and an integral part of building that program, the clinic, and supporting this profession, as Carrie has as well. But looking forward to jumping into this story. Carrie, we'll start with you. Congratulations on the award. Maybe just start with what this award means to you, what it means through your lens, and then Mark will jump over to the nomination, where it came from, and your relationship as we get going.
Sure. Well, thank you, first of all. Definitely an unexpected nomination and obviously win on my side of things. I think obviously working in this profession, we never really do anything for accolades, and we're usually the last person to kind of toot our own horn, for lack of a better phrase. So definitely very humbling when Mark let me know that he had nominated me for this award. And probably even more so humbling when I was notified that I had actually won it. So, you know, I've looked up to Mark since I've started in the profession, you know, 23 years ago now. So yeah, just the fact that, you know, Mark, with his experience and dedication to the profession, recognized or noticed something that I had done, and felt a need or a want to put my name forward for an award like this is definitely humbling, for sure.
Yeah, and already capturing sort of one of the characteristics that we find in this profession of humility within this. And as we talked about kind of off air before this, you know, patting ourselves on the back and tooting our horn as to what we do and how we do things as a profession here in Canada, athletic therapy, athletic training, sort of globally, interchangeable, I guess. But Mark, over to you in terms of the nomination, where it came from. And again, thank you both for your time, for being here and for sharing this. Our audience is always grateful, and so am I, humbled to be here and joined by you. But Mark, over to you for the nomination.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just feed off of a little piece of what Carrie just said, and I'll go into more detail. But she said he recognized something I did, like she did one thing. This award is much broader than one thing. I've known Carrie for a long time. I've known her since she came to Calgary and started working at the University of Calgary. And she was an assistant there, working with Bonnie and her team. And the moment that we had an opportunity to hire her at Mount Royal, I jumped all over it. I mean, I technically didn't do the hiring. I mean, I was on the committee, but they welcomed me onto the committee, and we were just so pleased to be able to bring her on board. I've seen Carrie evolve considerably over the years, and what impresses me the most about her is her commitment to leadership, her commitment to improving. In a different life, Carrie was probably a drill sergeant with the military somewhere, I would think.
Fairly accurate.
So, you know, think about that drill sergeant that has, you know, they make their bed really tightly and they walk in a straight line. And so that's her MO, but I've watched her evolve and really tap into those qualities. And I've just seen her become and blossom as such a fantastic leader, being the head therapist. And as you would imagine, being a head therapist for any varsity team is a tremendous amount of responsibility. You know, you probably have staff that are working underneath you or with you. And in our particular case, we tap into our clinical educators that are also head athletic therapists all over Calgary. And Carrie's been part of that team, first at U of C as an assistant, but then following up again at Mount Royal. And I guess I really got to see her firsthand and very closely when she became the head therapist. And you know, it's not one thing that Carrie does. It's all the little things that add up to be big, massive things. To be a leader to young professionals that are trying to become athletic therapists, it's that everyday interaction that she has with students that she makes a difference in a person's life every single day, whether it be, you know, a second, third, or fourth year athletic therapy student. And so, you know, it's the accumulation of those things. And it's just such a hidden thing. You don't see it. What you see are the results. You see students that come out of the back end. They are much better therapists because they've been impacted by Carrie's leadership. So yeah, I nominated her for all the little things of being such a phenomenal leader. She is in a constant state of lifelong learning and trying to improve and be a better leader and be a better role model. And in fact, I would argue that she's flipped it around, and she used to be an assistant therapist at U of C, and then she became the head therapist at Mount Royal. And now she's leading all of the other clinical educators across our entire program. So we have probably a dozen to 20 different clinical educators that help assist our program. So she's also impacting all of them with the systems and the models. And she's just very humble about it all, but and subtle and gentle in her approach. And she's just helped a ton of people. So again, her leadership is amazing. I think, you know, the international community could learn a lot from Carrie in terms of her skills and abilities, and just her commitment to making the profession better, like one little tiny person and interaction and at a time. So I'm so happy that I'm happy that I nominated her. I'm glad that she accepted me nominating her. She was a little reluctant, I have to say, but and then she was, yeah, very grateful. And then she won the award, which I think is totally deserving. So pleased for her, and excited to talk about it today.
Yeah, amazing capture. And obviously there's a relationship between the two of you that goes back some time, and you've watched growth and you've developed things together and molded young minds in the athletic therapy space. Carrie, to you, in terms of leadership, has this sort of come naturally to you? Have you sort of, I don't know, have you leveraged leadership as something that you've worked on? Or is this sort of, you know, through the channels and working with Mark and all the different roles that you've had, this has sort of come as a natural progression for you in developing as a therapist, as a person, and as a leader?
Definitely not natural, I wouldn't say. I've never really seen myself as a leader. And it was an area that was identified when I was at U of C in the assistant therapy role. As we all know, we all go through, you know, educational institutions and everything's technical, learn the technical skills, you know, get better at, you know, everything kind of technical related. And we don't really learn a whole lot about the soft skills side of things, which is probably 90% of what we do as athletic therapists. So I specifically looked into a continuing education certificate. It's called the Certificate for Emerging Leaders, to specifically develop that side. I don't think anybody relishes being in conflict situations with anyone. And obviously working in the profession that we do, you are going to periodically run into conflict situations with coaches, athletes, you know, colleagues, definitely with students. And so that was an area that I identified as a fairly significant struggle, and knew that if I was going to be, I've always had the drive to be a head therapist. And I knew that was an area that if I was put into that position and role, if I was able to find that was an area that I definitely needed to spend some time working on, rather than just having the technical skills and learning more, you know, tools in the toolbox when it comes to treatment and rehab and those sorts of things. So, was definitely, an area that I knew I needed to develop and continue to. And for anyone working in an educational institution these days, I think we all know we're dealing with a different generation of students than what we were when we were in the programs all those years ago. And learning to adapt to today's generation of student, it continues to be a learning curve that I think anyone working in an academic institution is experiencing on a daily, weekly, and annual basis.
Yeah, and being one of nine athletic therapy institutions in a fairly big country geographically, maybe you guys can capture together or independently, however you want to go about it, what Mount Royal does maybe differently, or what you're proud of within that program and drive, obviously having leadership and qualities that capture the soft skills, right? We talk about this on a regular basis when we have guests on this, and I think it's an easy talking point as well, is are we moving towards maybe supporting those softer skills in the educational program, in that you've identified it in leadership, in that you've identified conflict and communication? Like, these are things that are life skills, but built in sort of obviously into the athletic therapy space. So I guess that's a long-winded question, but what are you doing, I guess, at Mount Royal that makes the program special, that keeps you going? And are we building sort of some of these soft skills into the, I guess, the up and coming workforce within the profession?
Yeah, I'm happy to start, but I'll turn it over to Kerry after. But, you know, the one thing that I think we do well, and Kerry was part of our team when we first started this, but as most people know, we moved to competency-based, a more formalized version of competency-based education, with some of the task force recommendations and consensus statements to move by 2020 to competency-based education wholeheartedly. And across the country, I would say that everybody did it to an extent. And, you know, we embraced it wholly at Mount Royal. It is this confluence of soft and hard skills and the, you know, the threading of both of those things together. And that's what makes true competence. And so Kerry, right from the get-go, embraced all of it. She, you know, was informed about what we were trying to accomplish as a program. She was keen on learning it about it, and saying, like, what do I do? What role do I play in the development of students? And as people probably know, competency-based education really relies heavily on clinical expertise, or expertise in the field and clinic, and clinical educators that help evaluate whether or not students are achieving those competencies. We used to rely heavily on practical performance-based exams that are usually mock and not authentic. Whereas Kerry was at the other end, the authentic end of assessment, where she's evaluating people in the real life. And I think that we do that in a relatively unique way. And I think it's coming along across Canada. But, you know, we couldn't have done it without people like Kerry, that who really, again, said, like, what am I going to do to help contribute to this and develop the next generation and make them competent. So from my perspective, again, it's a real critical partnership with the clinical educators. And again, Carrie is probably one of our leaders of all clinical educators. She's leading the way for everybody. So that's my perspective. Carrie?
Yeah, no, I think it's, I've always, I don't know if struggled is the word, but the fact, so I don't have, I have my undergrad degree, I have my athletic therapy certificate from Sheridan, and I've never gone on to further education. So I don't have a master's or PhD, and that's never kind of been in my realm of things that I've wanted to do. But I've always felt the importance of, and I remember being a student going, okay, so we learn all these things, but you know, in reality, how does that all come to play? So I think I've taken a keen interest on having and allowing students to translate the theory into reality. Because again, as we all know, having gone through programs ourselves, you almost never see a textbook presentation of anything, whether it's in the field, you know, an injury never goes down the way it's, you know, laid out to present in textbooks. And in a clinical setting, we all know, I think, I don't even know if I can count on one hand in 23 years, clinical presentations that were verbatim from a textbook. So it's allowing students to make the transition and translate the knowledge that they're learning in class into reality. And I think the bigger part in the kind of the second half of my career, I would say, is allowing students the ability to make mistakes. That was something that for me as a student and even as a young professional coming out, I was terrified of doing quote unquote something wrong or again, in quotes, missing something. So I think where I've noticed is, and again, I still see it day to day, students are terrified of saying the wrong thing, getting the wrong test result on their special test or whatever it happens to be. So I stress with myself and my two assistants that work with me as clinical educators is allowing the students and making it known that it's okay for them to make a mistake, because I still make mistakes after 23 years of working in the profession. So I think the bigger piece that I've taken away from as I've been working in the profession is just giving everyone that ability to be real and knowing that perfection isn't required to become a good therapist. And in fact, I've found in the cases where if I don't know the answer, now I don't have any issues or concerns telling my patients I don't know the answer, but giving them the avenues that I think could possibly help them find the answers. So I think that's a big piece, again, that as you're a student in school, or maybe it was just my interpretation of it, I felt that I had to know the answers for everything, for everybody, all the time. And that if I was sending them somewhere else, I initially, as a young professional, saw that as a failure. Whereas now I actually see that more as a positive that I'm willing to admit my limitations, but continue to help people find the answers. So yeah.
Can I just build off of that? Because there's some really good, rich stuff in there that from my perspective, this what she's referencing is really what I talked about in terms of the interaction she has one-on-one with people. And so excuse the, I'm going to go into theory a little bit, but last year we did a PD session around feedback theory for all of our clinical educators, and Carrie emulates this. And so one of the underlying principles in a method that I particularly like, the Pendleton method of feedback, is they advocate for creating an educational alliance and with a student one-on-one first. You have to know the person individually on an individual basis before you can ever enter into that contractual agreement around giving feedback to somebody. And so Carrie just referenced all of that. She is totally engrossed in the one-on-one and improving people and getting to know who they are. Like, she knows every single student. And, you know, she knows what they're doing for breakfast, if they're taking enough time to walk their dog. And she puts that into, she values that so highly. And then she gains the respect of the people and the students because of it. So, yeah, I again, she just emulates all of the things that you want to be able to see from a leader. And it starts from the ground up and she just builds from there. So,
yeah, so some amazing captures. And I think even just backing up, Carrie, as you were describing your education, you know, not having a master's or a PhD, but I mean, there's so much to be gained in the experience of being a therapist for 23 years, right? That is, yes, no, maybe not the formal education, but the value of reality, as you put it, in the space. This is where growth happens. And you talk to the life journey, right? Not just the student journey in athletic therapy, but this idea that if we can get away from perfection being the goal and growth being the actual reality, you know, human experience is, it's enhanced through making mistakes. That's how we learn. If we were perfect, everybody would do their own thing and there would be no interaction. So these mistakes and these feedback that you talk about with students, analogous with the practitioner patient relationship as well. If I don't know my patient or my patient doesn't know me, this is going to, or athlete, or interject whatever language you want to use, but the care is not going to be a positive outcome. So the experience for the student is no longer going to be positive if they're not connected to their leader in this case, or their instructor. So brilliant, brilliant capture. And I'm sure, you know, speaking on behalf of the students that I don't know at Mount Royal, or those that have been through the program, you wouldn't be there for the number of years that you've been there if that wasn't a constant and consistent theme, I'm sure. I guess let's backtrack a little bit for our listeners that are international. You're both in Canada, you're in Alberta. How does this program work? How's this program set up? Are they all Canadian students? Do you have any international reach with any of the research you're doing or the studies that you're doing or planning, that kind of thing? Just for our WFAT listeners, I guess just situate us as to where you are and how that works on your side.
Yeah, we don't have a ton of international students. There are two ways to get into our program. We have an undergraduate degree. It's in the Bachelor of Health and Physical Education with a major in athletic therapy. So we get about 70% of our students come from Alberta, straight from high school. Lots of them come in not necessarily knowing about athletic therapy. They took sport medicine in high school. It's a very common thing in Alberta in the curriculum. It's just an option that they can take within their curriculum. And so they think, oh, that might be nice. So sometimes those things work out well, and sometimes they don't. The rest of our population comes from across Canada. We also have a post-degree entrance where basically it's a transfer kind of system where students can have a degree already and they come in from a post-degree entrance requirement. And then they take the last 2.5 years of our program. And so that's where we typically see, if we do see international students, we do get some through that route. And often it's, we've had a number of Japanese students in the past, and Takashi Fukuda, who's a prof now in Japan, graduated from our program probably 20 some odd years ago, and has really generated a lot of interest in athletic training and athletic therapy in Japan. Japan is complicated in terms of the number of organizations internationally that produce the equivalent of an athletic trainer. Some obviously are ATCs, and then there are some that are Canadian certified as well. So we had a number of Japanese students come over time. We've also had some from, often, to be honest, we get a lot of physiotherapists that are coming over from an international perspective. It could be Sweden, or I just got a message yesterday from somebody from Australia. They want to come to Canada, immigrate to Canada, and sometimes they see athletic therapy in Canada as being a way to go, in addition to doing their Canadian physio exam. So they kind of combine those things. But it is a lot of work to bring in international students to get credentialed in our institution. We have to do a lot of analysis around transfer credit, and that transfer credit can become a bit challenging, especially, you know, you need, if you have a Japanese student, as an example, everything that they've taken in their undergrad degree isn't Japanese, so it has to be translated, and then we have to look at it, and then we have to really bridge them to the Canadian culture and system and expectations and standards. And so it's a bit more of a challenge for international students to come here. So
yeah, amazing. Great capture. And even our series here, our third portion of our series, the previous one, excuse me, award winner K.R. Tomura was from Japan originally and is now at the University of Hawaii. And I think these international bridges don't necessarily need to have the international student, but the language of the profession maybe is what's universal. Carrie, I'll throw that to you in terms of, you know, how we interpret this. And, you know, in our profession in Canada, we often are in this comparison of, well, athletic therapy against whatever else, or what's different, or, and the way that I see it, and take this wherever you want to go, is that athletic therapy kind of sits in the center and can mesh and can be a bit of a hub to all of and with all of those other practitioners. As you mentioned, you know, sharing a patient load or referring somebody onward is not a hindrance against yourself. In fact, that enhances the care for the person that matters the most, the patient, the athlete, the whoever that you're treating. As an international profession, I guess, where do you see, or how do you see athletic therapy?
I'll just backtrack a little bit. I can't remember, Mark, it may have been a year that you were on sabbatical, but back in, I believe it was 2007, we actually had an exchange with DCU students coming over from Ireland, and their current president, Siobhan, was actually one of those students. So interesting. I think they were at the time just, you know, trying to get up and running over there. So interesting little piece I'd throw in there to give it a shout out to Siobhan. But yeah, I think it's athletic therapy internationally isn't as well known or as I think any of us would like to see it. I mean, I'm obviously very passionate about the profession. And I think we can stand up on the top of, you know, the quote unquote podium in terms of quality of care. And I, you know, I would like to see the profession grow exponentially from, and it has grown exponentially in the last 20, 25 years. And I personally would like to see that growth continue. You know, obviously more recognition, you know, whether it's through insurance companies or whatever it happens to be. You know, I actually find it quite funny watching some NHL games. Is currently, I'm not going to identify, but there is currently one team that consistently, their head therapist is consistently referred to on CBC and Sportsnet as an athletic therapist and is not. So, it, you know, in some ways, I don't have an issue with that because it's getting our name out there. However, at the same time, we also need to be careful if, you know, if God forbid something is done that is detrimental, I probably would be the first one lining up to say, actually, that's not an athletic therapist, just to clarify. But yeah, I would love to see our profession continue to grow the way it has, you know, bring in more countries into WFAT. You know, the more our name is out there, I think it can only do better things for the profession.
Right. And just to sort of, you know, put this out there for some listeners, there is, you know, some information through WFAD and on the website, and there are members within the international arrangement. So working towards international recognition cross-border, ARDI in Ireland, the BOC in the US, obviously the CATA here in Canada, and BASRAT in the UK. There are a number of other countries applying to be a part of that. And not a shameless plug, or a shameless plug, I guess. WFAT holds a World Congress. The next one is in Ireland in 2025 in the fall. And through my experience, maybe through your experience, being at those really solidifies the fact that A, Canadians as athletic therapists hold a place of value within this space, and B, the language, the work, the skill sets, they travel international waters and they hold value in the care provided, the education, the research, the, all of those pieces that we have access to here in Canada as athletic therapists have a role to play, I think, in growing this profession across like international waters, right? And again, I've had the opportunity to be at the last two World Congresses. The one in Tel Aviv was phenomenal. There was a group of students there in a relatively new profession, named profession in Israel, who were chomping at the bit to hear from the Canadian presenters, the US presenters, the presenters from Japan. And I think this allows us to open our eyes to just how big the world is, but also how small the world is when the profession comes together and says, look at all the things we're doing, and opening new channels for the profession to make headway. So I guess from that end, Carrie, again, joined today by Carrie Downer, 2023 Impact Award winner with WFAT, her nominator, Mark Lefebvre, both at Mount Royal University in Alberta here in Canada. Carrie, in terms of, I guess, students in your space, the feedback provided from them with the programming and your leadership, are there sort of common themes or common channels that students are looking to move to? Are they aware of international opportunity? Are they aware of professional opportunities? Again, you spoke of sort of like the well-rounded nature of getting to know the human and allowing them to make mistakes and navigate this space. The professional changed in the years that you've been there. Do you see a lot of that? Do you see a lot of sort of new opportunities or opportunities where athletic therapy maybe wasn't present before in present day?
I think from what I see, I do a lot of educating with the students that are in the program who, you know, some of them see this as a stepping stone to other professions. I'm always going to push for them to, you know, become certified as an AT, regardless of kind of what avenue they're looking to transition to. And so I just have, you know, just very frank discussions around some of the, you know, I've done some international travel. I have done some work with the senior men's water polo team. You know, so we were in a 3-week tournament over in China. And, you know, we were using, again, probably not anything new for athletic therapists, but we were using a power tape system because it's athletes in water. And there were other physios that were there with other countries that saw that I had some tape on some athletes that they hadn't seen before. So we're asking questions around like, what is this? Where do I find it? How do I get it? So I always just, you know, I let students know that there is opportunity as an athletic therapist, even when you're working internationally, there are things that we know that I think we just kind of take for granted that everybody knows what it is. So, you know, just always be looking for those learning opportunities to educate somebody on something that, again, we see as second nature. I was actually quite surprised that I seemed to be one of the only people there that knew what this type of tape was and how beneficial it could be for athletes that participate in water. So those are the little pieces that I kind of have conversations around. I haven't, off the top of my head, I don't recall too many students looking to go international. But I would certainly, you know, let them know, again, as a past president as well of the CATA, I do have some of those connections. So, you know, and I am more than willing. We did have one student who graduated, went back when I was at UFC, he's still actually working in the professional soccer world, who I had put in touch with an AT from Spain that I had met through WFAT at an NATA conference. So those connections are there, and certainly willing to, you know, help any student who has interest in going international in those avenues to help them get and achieve the goal that they have.
Yeah, and providing those opportunities, obviously, here in Canada to understand what the profession is, I think, is obviously the foundational piece. And then from there, you know, I would encourage those that haven't been to explore the international, not necessarily options, but use the profession to see the world, use the profession to grow your vision of what this world is as a practitioner, you know, go and hear what's going on, see what's going on in other countries. You get the experience of being there, for example, in Ireland in the fall of 2025. And you also get the opportunity to network and see, wow, I could fit in just about anywhere speaking this language of athletic therapy, athletic training globally. So great captures. Mark, to you, just maybe just to sort of capture a little bit more on Carrie and the nomination here with the Impact Award. You mentioned sort of the little things that stand out. You mentioned her growth, obviously, the feedback opportunity with the students, the opportunity for you to sort of, you know, navigate the program there at Mount Royal, navigate it through the lens of the students. I don't want to put Carrie on the spot. lot, but what is the feedback with your students leaving after the interaction with Kerry? And just to sort of capture again, obviously humble, obviously not going to toot her own horn. So let's have you do it maybe one final time before we wrap up here today. And then Kerry, we'll throw it over to you just for some final words here for our audience, but to you, Mark.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think so as part of our normal course of action in our program, we do ask for feedback on agencies and clinical educators at the end of every year. And Kerry came over to Mount Royal and her first year was just learning the ropes. But every year after that, and because there was a transition from a previous paradigm of treating and everything else, but every year after that, we get tremendous feedback from students, and to the point where, I've asked Kerry to share her systems and how she does things and why she does things within our clinical educator community. Just to say, you know what, there's some real success here and students are really gravitating to the way she does things. Part of it is her structure. She's a phenomenal manager. To be a good leader, I think you have to be a great manager as well. And, you know, she has a solid foundation of being a good manager, managing all the little tiny details. But then on top of that, you know, you add all of the personal pieces around caring for the person, knowing who they are. They seem like simple things, but they're very time consuming and she does it super well. And again, just phenomenal leader at multiple levels, at the student level, at the program level, at our clinical educator level, even at the CAT level. We didn't mention any of this yet, I don't think, but she's a previous president of the CATA. And, you know, being a previous president of the CATA, I can tell you, it's a lot of work and, you know, a lot of juggling while you're trying to work full time. And so she's done it across multiple areas. And yeah, so deserving of the award for sure.
Amazing. And again, thank you for your time, for the nomination, and for getting Kerry in front of our audience to sort of share her, to share Mount Royal, to share this award. Again, joined by 2023 Impact Award winner Kerry Downer and Mark Lefebvre, her nominator from Mount Royal. Kerry, to you, maybe just for some final words and wrapping this up, our profession, your role, and all the things that these opportunities provide. Again, congratulations for the award. Thank you for being here, and I'll let you close this out however you wish.
Yeah, thank you again. I'm kind of at a loss for words again as to, you know, what to say to truly get across how humbled and appreciative I am of having been awarded this award. I do look forward to looking into whether Dublin, from a timeline perspective, obviously working in an academic institution, October is, you know, prime season for all of our varsity athletics teams here. But certainly looking forward to potentially meeting, you know, the other inaugural winners of this year's awards and, you know, seeing who's coming up next. I see it as a limitless potential for growth for our profession. And I look forward to seeing where we go.
Amazing. And I think you just gave me an idea moving forward. So maybe we'll get all the award winners on here together. We can meet virtually and hopefully tie that into something in person as well. But for all the work you're doing, for all the work that you have done, thank you very much on behalf of the profession, on behalf of our audience, on behalf of myself as the host. This is Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast, the official podcast of WFAT. Today's guests, our award winner, Kerry Downer, nominator Mark Lefebvre, both at Mount Royal University. Check them out. Check out the program. Reach out. We can connect you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks again for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this community. Check us out online. firststartherapy.com. That's FIRSTAR therapy.com. Or email us with feedback, consult@firststartherapy.com. CONSULT at firststartherapy.com. On Instagram at firststar.therapy. And our podcast host at letschat.at. This is First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast.